It was May 1984, and I had just finished the last exam of my freshman year at Fairfield University in Connecticut. I was really more of a jock than an academic. I had been captain of the swim and lacrosse teams in high school and joined the swim team at college. Although I found my academic studies relatively easy, I lacked maturity and discipline in my intellectual pursuits. Little did I know, my world was about to change dramatically. My parents had driven down to visit from our home in Waterbury, an hour to the north, and I ran across the quad to meet them. As soon as I got into the car, I knew something was wrong. Both of my parents had tears in their eyes. In a broken voice, my father told me that he had cancer. I listened, holding back tears and biting my lip. It seemed impossible to me that my father of 45, with whom I often went on runs, could have a potentially fatal disease. It transformed my sense of what was real, what was important. The adult world of responsibility, tragedy, and sorrow had come crashing into my sheltered and idyllic college life. As they explained the diagnosis and treatment and his chances of survival, I said very little. I just sobbed. When they had finished, I asked them if I could have a little time to myself. I left the car, changed into my running clothes, and went for a long run. I ran harder, faster, and longer than I would have if I were running a track meet. I wanted the physical pain to defeat the emotional pain. Yet the emotional pain was more powerful and refused to yield. As I doggedly placed one foot in front of the other, my head was filled with doubt, fear, and confusion. I knew a tremendous responsibility had just fallen on my shoulders, a responsibility to work hard in school, make something of my life, and add something good to the world. I wanted my parents, especially my dad, to be proud of me. Perhaps my success would help them emotionally and physically. During my college years, my dad was in and out of the hospital. The type of chemotherapy he was receiving literally ate away at his bones. So in addition to his cancer, he also needed hip replacement surgery. It was a very difficult and painful time in our lives, and I spent every free moment I could at my father's side. When he went in for his hip surgery, my brothers, my friends, and I even joined him in his hospital room to watch the Chicago Bears defeat the New England Patriots in Super Bowl XX. When I wasn't with my family, I poured myself into my books. This tragedy had given me focus I previously lacked. A focus that made it possible for me to get into Johns Hopkins Medical School. In my first year at Hopkins, we were told his diagnosis had changed from lymphoma to leukemia. The doctors said this was a particularly deadly form of cancer, and there wasn't much they could do. Even though I knew little about medicine then, something didn't quite add up. I asked my parents if they would come and talk to one of the cancer specialists at Johns Hopkins. After talking to an oncologist at Hopkins, it became clear to me that my father had been subject to a medical error. It was difficult to decipher because the doctor spoke in code. Like most physicians, he was probably cautious to judge another physician. At times, I likely speak the same language myself now, perhaps without even realizing it. The Hopkins physician told my father, "Had you come in earlier, I would have offered you a bone marrow transplant. The cancer that you have is notoriously difficult to cure. Without catching it early and treating it with a transplant, the chance of survival is slim. Unfortunately, now it is too late, and you are beyond the stage that we could offer you this treatment. All we can suggest now is palliative care." The doctor essentially told us that my father, at one time, could have been saved, but now he was most certainly going to die. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. My father was only 49. You could barely tell he had cancer. He had soft, smooth skin, thick, brown, wavy hair, and bright blue eyes that sparkled with life. It was hard to imagine he was going to die. The physician didn't use the word mistake, and he never said that an error had occurred. Yet it was pretty clear to me this was what had happened. My understanding of medicine was extremely limited at the time. I was essentially just like millions of patients and family members who walk into hospitals across the country every day, either sick themselves or accompanying a sick loved one like